All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I hate to break the fishing news up, Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for, like, an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, Ramchuk.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
7 days from now, like from basically right now, we will be inside Mullet Arena for a Nation Vacation brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross.
2 o'clock start.
That's exciting. Well, we factored the time zone, Tyler. You didn't factor the time zone in, Tyler.
Isn't Arizona on mountain right now?
I don't know. Isn't it?
I have no idea.
You're the resident Arizonian.
Well, I think, yeah. So I think they're
currently
an hour.
The same time.
Yeah,
it's
I think
the same time.
All yeah, right. But Vegas is an hour
Vegas
ahead.
Is an hour Pacific.
Behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, yeah, fair. 7 days from now, shout out to Alberta Blue Cross. Only one thing better than sharing memories. It's making new ones like the ones we make on every Nation vacation. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more. Wherever your travel takes you, visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information on how they can protect you. We will talk about some Nation vacation stuff, I'm sure, throughout the week, but probably start with Super Bowl. Okay, Chalmers is here, by the way, everybody.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Did you forget it was Thursday on Thursday, but it was your birthday?
No, my birthday was Friday, the 9th.
But, like, how could you forget what day of the week it was when the next day is your birthday?
Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, I have no idea. I just remember looking at the clock and it being like 2 o'clock and then thinking, holy shit, it's Thursday. And then seeing a message from Tyler saying, Charles? And I was just like, oh my God, you guys, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get up and just work takes control.
Because he didn't send you a message that morning.
Hey, Charles is going to see an Instagram post.
Yeah.
Well, I always find it funny because on Monday we're like poking fun of the fact that your attendance on Thursday is probably unlikely.
Your Monday attendance is good.
And how you said you would be there.
I did guarantee it.
You'll have a keep of 100. You'll do all this stuff.
Well, so this is the thing. I knew what a weekend was going to happen because birthday weekend had lots of stuff. No, I just had a lot of stuff.
Going. The future.
I had a lot of stuff
you don't
going
even know
on.
What it is.
But I knew what.
Guys, I was super busy 2 days after that.
But
so
I knew what I had coming on the weekend, so I knew it was going to be busy. And then, like, I'm leaving for Phoenix tomorrow morning.
Chalmers, take it one step further. Think about the rest of your life. All the stuff.
Oh, so you're not doing. You're not doing this Thursday's, obviously. Then.
No, I won't be here for this Thursday either.
Well,
unless I
finally you've got at least
I'll zoom in.
It.
I'll zoom in. I'll be just sitting on a golf cart probably
good.
Somewhere.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, like, so Friday was my birthday, and at about 4 o'clock, JR and I met and put in a couple hour session for all time at old Uncle Glenn's.
I meant to send a photo to the group. Sean was like, hung out for 2 hours and We must have had 8 to 10 drinks each.
Oh, yeah. And we were just, I don't know why, they were just going down so smooth for a Friday evening.
I was walking home like, I need to donate. Like, it's 6 p.m.
Uncle Glenn's knows how to provide.
They do. And so I had a Friday.
Fire pizza right there.
So good.
Right? Fantastic.
And then Saturday, I had the concert, which was busy and late. And then yesterday, drank pretty much all day.
What concert did you go to on Saturday?
City in Color.
I was also there.
Yeah. Mm. What'd you think? Nathaniel Ratcliffe knows how to put on a show. He opened that up.
Opening band was fantastic.
He gets you moving.
He's incredible. Here's my thing with City in Color. I believe that Dallas Green may have one of the best singing voices of all time. He sounds better in concert than he does on his albums. His voice is so distinct. It's like, there's just something about it to me. It's like perfect, right? Just like Tracy Chapman's voice is like perfect. I love Dolly Parton's voice. Oh, yeah. He's great, but here's what he does.
Sapp's voice.
I fell in love with City in Color probably about like four albums ago.
Oh yeah. That guy, one of those
and
guys.
And he does it, but I haven't really kept up.
Anybody.
Those are the ones where he was big. They'd become big, but I haven't kept up with him recently. And he just doesn't play old songs. That's he played like two.
When I first found City in Color, it was like Save Your Scissors. Like way back.
Oh, yep. great track.
He didn't play it.
He didn't play Fragile Bird. He didn't play like The Grand Optimist. He didn't play. All he played was Coming Home. And then he ended with his duet with Gord Downie, Sleeping Sickness. And it's like a really cool song because Gord Downie obviously just passed away recently. And well, not really, I don't know if recently, but it was some kind of maybe like 5 years ago. I don't know. But he's a Canadian icon.
It's tough with all that stuff you have to do in the future. It's tough.
I got to so much to think about
together.
Cause the only ones he played from, just to wrap it up, was Coming Home.
Yep.
That was from the first album. And then Hello, I'm in Delaware was the only ones.
Yeah.
So I've got a wide gap in there where I didn't know what was going on.
You gotta have that healthy mix, right? Cool. It's about getting the new stuff out.
It was great, but the old Caesars were flowing on Saturday.
Yeah, you never trust anybody to play their old stuff if they do their concert on a Persian rug.
They did have Persian rugs. The shout out to, there was a little bit of Alexis on Fire mixed in there as well.
He had the one little, so there's another guy, this guy, Ray Lamontagne or something. I don't even really know how to say his last name. This guy has one song that is like a radio song. It's mine and my wife's wedding song. It's like his one hit. And we went and saw him in concert and he didn't play it. And I was just like, you artists.
Like, that'd be like going to see Lou Bega and he doesn't play Mamba Number 5.
Exactly.
That's it's part like, of it where it's just like, man, play the ones we're here
just
to see.
Play
Mamba Number 5, Lou. We love it.
Sing along.
Yeah. Repeat.
Lou. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was a good concert. I mean,
it was great. I had a great, great time.
Just the sound. I mean, the sound, like, it's so good. It was so better than the album. Like that's what
I need to drink at concerts like that, though, because there's a lot of slow jams. It makes me a little sleepy unless I got something going on.
It was slow. Fair. But like Nathaniel Ratcliffe has one song that's called like Son of a Bitch or something. Get it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The place was rocking when that song was on.
We love sing swearing. We love it.
Yeah.
You know what he reminds me of?
I've seen him perform that song twice in an outdoor venue and indoor venue, and everyone stands up.
I felt like I was at a Righteous Gemstones revival and Danny McBride was on stage, because that's what Nathaniel Ratcliffe looks like. He just like, and he's like, he's very preachy singing style, right? Like,
it's kind of like gospel.
Gospel-y sound.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the place rocking. So yeah, it was all in all a good night. And then Super Bowl. Let's dive in. How'd you guys do?
First off, my attention when that game started was way more focused on Nick Taylor and what was going on at Waste Management.
We had a 3 TV situation, one being the Super Bowl, 2 being the Waste Management. And if it wasn't for the Waste Management, probably would have went home or fell asleep in my chair.
Yeah.
Watching the Super Bowl.
So I was at a Super Bowl party with like 10 people and only 3 of us cared about the golf. So game went on the TV. Wasn't at my house. The guy only had one TV. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Me and my other two buddies were just sitting in the corner by ourselves watching the golf on my phone. Being like, come on, Nick. And a birdie 18, 3 straight times. So sad.
And have the same bunker luck too with the drive.
It's not very often I'll watch a golf tournament. You'll have a Canadian who is a really likable Canadian. And you want him to win. But the person he's going against is also super likable, hasn't had a victory in 8 years. This is Charlie Hoffman. He is sponsored by Waste Management. This is the Waste Management Open.
Interesting.
And he's an older guy. You know, like after the 18th hole, he had to go put on like one of those heat belts to like keep his back loose. He's an older guy, man. Like, and to be in contention the way that he was, it's a really cool story. And to win your home event, like
that bunker shot he hit from this, the pew bunkers
in the playoff hole, he goes into the pew bunkers. He's got a ledge in front of him, probably about 2 feet high, and just flushes it to like 10 feet, but he misses the putt. Right.
But Nick Taylor's clutch putting that whole day.
He had the best putting stats of the whole weekend.
Cause there was three or four times in that final round where like, he had like 8 to 10 footers, which I know for a pro aren't like insane, but like 8 to 10 footers for par. And like when he was 2 or 3 strokes back, still 8 to 10 footers for par. And he was saving them every time.
Yeah. Did you notice the Waste Management sweater that Charlie Hoffman was wearing? Did you notice the logo on the very back?
No.
It had a shark on it. And we had to look it up because we were like, are you allowed to wear Greg Norman shark gear at a PGA Tour event? Because, as you might not know, Greg Norman, pretty much the biggest villain or the biggest enemy of the PGA Tour right now due to his LIV connections. And sure as shit, he's sponsored by Greg Norman shark brand apparel. Wow. And so like, I don't know, I'm sure the PGA was just like, oh, this is not good.
Big old shark.
And it was big. Yeah.
See the logo beneath that? No. Visit Saudi Arabia with a LIV logo underneath that, eh? LIV logo. Shit.
Anyways, that was a great tournament.
Nick Taylor might win a major. He might be the next Canadian to do it.
He will be the next Canadian
to do it. Like, it feels like...
like, that guy has got ice in his veins.
Yeah.
He's got 4 wins.
Yeah. Well, when he walked on that putt, the first birdie putt. When he walked it in, I was going nuts. That's so gangster. As gangster as you can get on a golf course.
It is pretty, like, it's just cool. Like, how the confidence to have to do that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I noticed about the Waste Management was I think that people...
Has it peaked in terms of like,
yeah,
I think it's gotten too...
I think last year it peaked. And this was year one of the decline.
Yeah, it's gone too cesspool.
It's a perfect example of like, you just can't give people nice things because you get this one tournament that's maybe the most, like, other than the majors, maybe the most popular tournament to watch because of the atmosphere on 16. They keep it confined to that one hole where you can heckle, you can boo. Mm-hmm. It. The players call for it to be loud, but it flooded... flooded out onto the rest of the course, which just started pissing people off. Like, and I saw more things on Instagram about just guys walking around so drunk they can't even, like, they're falling into mud pits and like people can't get uphill. Like,
I think the thing was,
wasn't that the move at that tournament though? Like, people start drinking at 6,
but so? On that one hole, that's what, like,
just 16.
That's the 16. Thing, right?
But now they can only fit so many. It looks like they build a small city around that hole now, and that still is at capacity. There's a shit ton of people standing outside of it, so it's just like flood. So yeah, you're right, it goes out onto the course because they have nowhere else
and
to go.
I think part of it was, at least maybe 5 years ago, it was like golf fans went there because it was a party golf event, right? So it's a chance to like go booze, but also like watch the golf.
People just go there to party,
and now there's just partiers who don't care about the golf, and it's just totally,
so they want to be part of the scene.
Yeah,
so they had to stop beer sales
briefly. But apparently at some point they stopped, like the front gate was just like, whatever, there's too many people, just come on in, and they stopped scanning tickets.
Yeah,
and it just turned into a GA
event. That's your real problem right there.
Yeah, so apparently they were saying this, like, I don't know, I think the number was like 20 or 30,000 more people there than they expected.
Yeah, they got to. I think they just got to cap that population.
You know who does it right? The Masters. 3 people attend. Hot dogs are $1. Yeah. And nobody else is allowed to visit. Only former presidents are allowed to watch. Or
the other thing they could do if they want it to keep growing, but they don't want it to be mayhem, is do what you do on hole 16. Just do it on every par 3. So you can actually accommodate like the 80 to 100,000 people who want to show up there and just say, hey, at this tournament, the par 3s are the party holes. Everything else is like whatever. And
you just risk guys like not wanting to play there.
Yeah, that too. I'm sure we'll start to see that.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that wrapped up in the first quarter, second quarter of the Super Bowl, which was painfully boring to begin with.
Yeah.
The D's were humming.
Yeah, like San Francisco, when they went on that first drive where it was like bing, 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 and like 4 plays, they were in the red zone. You're like, oh my God, we're getting like a shootout Super Bowl back and forth.
Glad I bet the over.
And then McCaffrey fumbles that one and no one got a sniff of momentum for the rest of the half.
How many fumbles does he have all season?
Negative.
Like none. And then in that game,
more than he's
fumbled. Man, it was, did you see the freak injury too to their linebacker.
Who ran out of the field and hurt himself?
Hey, blew his Achilles tendon out just like slipping on the grass. Because
he was getting too fired up.
Well, last year the grass was a big, you know, spot of contention with the NFL because of the, it was really slippery. And they had this guy called the sod father, like a 75-year-old man, the sod father, who was in charge of the grass. And they put all the blame on him, said he didn't do it right. It was too slippery.
At the end of everything he's done, they blamed it on the sod father.
Yeah. Oh, they blamed it on him. And he went on the offensive. He went, he was doing interviews last year being like, F the NFL. I don't care. I did my job right. I know how to make
Stand with the sod father.
And so this year, there was like, people were wondering, was it going to be the same? Because it was the same kind of grass, same kind of rollout stadium.
Sod father not involved?
No, not involved. He quit. He retired after that. Yeah, he retired after being blamed for it.
Poisoned.
His legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was a weird injury. And then like just
this year.
The which one?
The sod father's biggest enemy. Grass King.
Yep.
He comes in, all black uniform, like in Mighty Ducks, the Iceland team.
One blade of grass out the back.
Just grabs the grass, goes, sod father.
Yep.
I'll fix this.
You got to taste it.
Got it.
Did he fix it? No, that guy blew his...
I don't have a clue. I don't know. That's just the weirdest thing in the world that a guy would hurt himself, a pro athlete would hurt himself like that. Oh,
it's one of those injuries too. It was
probably a ticking time bomb. It's probably going to happen that play or...
I was debating it with my buddies. They're like, oh, that's way worse than like if you get lit up by a hit and like that takes you on. I'm like, no, the opposite. That way you're going to spend the rest of your time and like, oh, could I have done something different? When your Achilles just blows up like that, ticking time bomb. Some point in that game, it was given out.
It reminded me of when players get hurt in baseball doing the walk-off tour and they go to jump on home plate and then they hurt themselves.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Guy with his knee.
Yeah.
Was the kicker the punter from Perth? Was the punter?
Oh, for...
I think one of the teams had a Perth punter who was like some gun.
No, they're the punters.
Was it the field goal guy though?
Moody?
Wisnowski?
Yeah.
Are you from Perth?
For the 49er. Yep. That's the former punter. Perth Glacier.
They showed early on, like, this is a big thing all around the world. And then they showed Perth and they're just like, like they're just drunk. They don't care.
Oh yeah.
It's like 4 days later, they're out there giving her.
The second half picked up. Thank God. The fourth quarter was unreal.
Overtime.
What? It makes no sense to take the ball first if you're San Francisco.
No.
Well, I don't know the upside.
They didn't understand it though.
There's two reasons why, and Shanahan said it. They wanted the ball the third time.
Because then it's sudden death.
And then also, KC's defense was gassed. So you put them on defense ASAP after you just kind of like wore them down.
I think that's outweighed by knowing what you need to do when you get the ball the second time.
And having four downs compared to three.
If all you need is a field goal to win the game, when you get that ball the second time, your game plan changes.
That's the third possession.
If you need
get the TD, so when they have a possession, they're fucked because they're getting possession.
But I think the biggest thing is if you take the ball first, you know you have three downs. And if you take the ball second, you have four. You have one extra down because you don't have to punt. You're not going to be punting it away. If they score a field goal,
let's say
you have to do something.
San Fran goes first. They stuff McCaffrey. You throw an incomplete pass. And then it's fourth and two on your first little run there.
Yeah.
You have to punt. You're fucked versus the other way. It happened. The Chiefs went on fourth and one. They probably don't go on that if it's.
No. If they had the ball first, they don't go on that. They punt it away.
They punt it away.
Now, if it was fourth and one for San Fran, they probably would have gone for it too.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
It was fourth and two.
I know, but like if they were fourth and two and they went second, they're going for it.
Yeah, I agree.
The fourth down changes it totally.
I agree. That does. I agree to that point, but then I'm springing all the counterpoints.
I think those are overthinking.
Just score a fucking touchdown. How's that sound?
Yeah. Scared money. Don't make money.
Like get the touchdown. Then you put them, you back baby in a corner.
Oh, backing Pat.
And they were given a gift with that penalty.
Oh, I know.
So like
no quarterback has ever in the Super Bowl gone like 8 for 8, 7 for 7, like 100% in one drive. And Patrick Mahomes did it in overtime to win the game, went 8 for 8. And it's like, this guy is inevitable, man. We potentially could be like, he will be the greatest quarterback probably to ever play, but like you can start thinking about athlete.
Most dominant athlete?
Most dominant athlete in their sport.
So he's won three now, right?
Yeah. If he keeps this up. Did you see, oh man, Troy Aikman with an all-time bad quote tweet like 4 years ago where somebody was like...
We're witnessing the end of Patrick Mahomes.
No, he said something like he's got 33% of
Made me go look out the window.
It was something to do about just like how he compared to Troy Aikman.
He already has X percent of his like wins. this many stats. And he's only played X amount of games. And Aikman quote tweets and goes, yeah, tell me when he has 100% of my championships.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
And now he does. And so there was like over 12,000 quote tweets to that tweet yesterday.
At 28.
Just incredible.
Do you guys want to talk about the Super Bowl or do you want to talk about the fucking game?
Yeah.
Okay. Three things more important than the game. One, Ice Spice.
Yep. What?
Listen to her most of the game.
Okay.
She's got a new song called Princess Diana with Nicki Minaj.
She also has a farting song. Something like that. Oh boy.
Say what now?
Song? What's it called? It's like something, the fart song. I kept seeing the meme of her and Jason.
What Kelsey. On earth? Oh, that's what that meant.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see a meme and you don't quite know.
Think you the shit in brackets, fart.
Ah. Second thing.
Well, you're missing the second part of it. You not even the fart.
Turn down for what?
Yep.
It's not an Usher song.
Doesn't matter.
But it saved the performance. Yeah.
You know what? I feel Lil Jon just sitting in the stands being like, holy shit.
I think that was
this isn't going good. I'm jumping in.
I think that's what they swapped in for Bieber. So I think Bieber was supposed to perform.
Oh yeah. I thought I heard
rumblings. He was there. I don't know, man. I saw on this Deep Bieber account, they showed him and Haley in the audience and he was wigging out during the, I don't know, Biebs. God bless.
Me and my buddies were joking about the idea of like the producers or whoever plans Super Bowl after. I mean, like, all right, Lil Jon, we're going to bring you in on like a rope with lasers and pyrotechnics. And he goes, no, just put me in the crowd. Just drop me in. I'll just be there.
But he looked great. He was jacked awesome. Up. Yeah. Like he looked fantastic. Tossed up
just in the middle of 20 people and does his little, yeah.
And I had two thoughts simultaneously. Number one, this is awesome. Number two, this is not an Usher song. What the fuck is going on?
It was the best part of the.
It was awesome.
People go bananas for Turn Down.
The Usher.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
When they all came out in roller skates too, I wanted them to do. Have you ever seen when like a group of like old men are at like a roller derby ring and they're perfectly singing with their high stepping crossovers?
I got gold member vibes.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, he's not bad. You know, like he's pretty good. And then right at the end, he almost goes down.
Why introduce an extra level of difficulty? Like you're already performing at the Super Bowl. It's already super nerve-wracking. Like,
And he's a hell of a good dancer.
Yeah, I guess I'll roller skate.
He had like five wardrobe changes too.
Well, now Jay, you were most concerned about his last wardrobe change before we started this. You said, I don't know if Usher's got 1996 yeah version body to be naked at the Super Bowl. And I'm just wondering if you would care to follow
up. I don't know if I can unpack that.
He still looked pretty good.
Yeah, I know he was fit, but just... It just, well, let me know if you saw what I saw. And I'm not going to tell you what I saw.
I saw his nipples look like dowsing rods pointing straight south.
Really?
Searching for water.
That's close. That's close to what Jay saw. It's
definitely that area was interesting. But anyways.
And also that he looked like the purple cobras from Dodgeball.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
That was funny.
I honestly, and someone made a meme about it that made me laugh.
Blazer.
I thought that it was Colin Kaepernick when fucking Luda came up.
Oh, yeah, they just threw
to him though, and he had the big afro, and I was like, is that Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, that verse still Luda. Pops too.
Oh, yeah. Good to see Luda. I miss Luda.
Usher's got hits, man.
Somebody was making fun of Ludacris and being like, man, he doesn't look like he performs all the time. He's still like very, very active.
He looks great.
That song, flashback right to the Cowboys D floor.
Yeah,
25-cent draft in each hand. Come on.
You know who didn't get a lot of love? Well, also, they found a way to get Jermaine Dupri in, which I thought was funny. He's wearing like a little kid, like going to his christening tuxedo.
Somebody asked, was Will I Am there too?
So he was. Yeah. That was the guy who didn't get any love. He came out with like a spaceman helmet. They left him at the back. Oh. And when they were showing Usher and everyone dancing, Will I Am was right behind Usher in the shot.
Somebody asked me if Jermaine Dupri was CeeLo Green. And I was like,
up until this morning, I thought it was.
And I was like, wow. Really? Was like,
why did we only get like 2 minutes of CeeLo Green?
Not a great look for Jermaine Dupri to be compared to CeeLo Green.
He should have wore the helmet.
That was a preposterous outfit for him to wear.
Yeah.
I Googled CeeLo Green and it goes, reaction, Super Bowl fans mistake. Jermaine Dupri.
Okay, CeeLo Green. it wasn't just our party then. Everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys, woo, she's great.
Always.
Looking great. Sounding great. Yep. Sounding
great always. Voice.
I didn't even know they had songs together, but she was.
That dress she was wearing, too. Do you see how it, like, when she the they were first of it. Yeah, like was like most of the arena.
It looked like The Cell. Have you ever seen the movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez?
That is one of the like that movie is creepy.
Yeah, and Vincent D'Onofrio's sitting there and she's like in the dream and he stands up and on his back he's got these two long pieces of fabric and they wrap all the way around the whole building. Yep. And as he's walking, it is all time creepy scene.
Speaking of J-Lo,
in any movies,
the ad with her and Ben Affleck was very funny.
I didn't see it. We didn't see any of the ads.
So good.
We paused or muted it during like the commercial break.
But it wasn't on TV. It's got to be on the tellies.
Yeah. I haven't done my deep dive into the commercials yet.
Every year. Cause you sit there and watching the game, we weren't muting the commercials. We were just watching the same Canadian commercials over and over again. I'm reminded I need to go find a stream online that has the American commercials because I feel like that would amplify the experience.
But so many people clip the ads and put them out on social because people can't see them.
Yeah, but I'd like to watch them in the moment. You know?
It adds the experience. Well, Tyler knows to tell you.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I can't believe I've watched the Super Bowl for less than 10 straight years and never once have we thought about like forethought of getting the stream on there other than like the Canadian.
Even if you're like 90 seconds behind cable TV, like who cares?
Yeah.
The Dunkin' Donuts ads though are like the most self-aware thing part of the Super Bowl. Like the ad is
Ben Affleck in that?
Yeah. And J-Lo's in it. And it's basically about how he's a goof if she doesn't want to be around him. And Tom Brady's in the ad. And then J-Lo hits on Tom Brady in the ad. Like it's very funny. Very self-aware. That one in the David Beckham Posh Beckham Uber Eats ad. That was so funny. So funny.
I'll tell you one person who loved the Usher halftime show, and that was my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She danced the entire time, and my proudest moment is when they started singing Yeah, she'd repeat Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
She was our own personal halftime show. She was having a great time.
She was buzzing.
Dancing up front, making everybody a little happier just to see. I don't know. It's fun because we got all the families there and all the kids. And she was just, she's all the nieces and nephews were having a good time hanging out with Crawford. It was fun. Buzzing.
She slept through the night. That tells you.
So did Usher. So everybody was exhausted.
Charles, I was hearing rumblings that you had a late night. Did you not just go home when the game ended?
No. I did. I was going to stay, but my wife and kids were like, cause come home. Like last year I was like, okay, babe, I'm just going to stay for an extra hour. Like it's already 8:30. I think I got home at 2 a.m. We played darts till like 2 a.m, just drink a whole bottle of rye. And she saw it. I have one more day of like work before we got to go. And so it was the right move, but I think I got home at like 9:30.
Ah, smart.
So it was good. I was in bed by 10:30 because I had to have one by myself at home, you know, as one does.
A personal debrief.
Watching the highlights, seeing the things that I missed, seeing some commentary on things. We didn't really watch like the interviews after the game. I really like the way that that Patrick Mahomes on the field broke down the overtime, you know, saying that we had that plan. Like we wanted that to be the plan. And so when the 49ers made that decision, they were very happy about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's just the forethought you have to have as a coach to be prepared for that. I mean, they're unbelievable. Three and four years.
It's three and five.
Yeah,
Rams won and.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another one in there.
Is there a Pats?
Oh, Tampa.
Oh, yeah, Rams and Tampa one in between.
I'm just happy. And a few of us felt the love of live betting comeback. That was great.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't jump on it when it was plus money. I jumped on it right before OT because I just watched the way Mahomes drove the field to tie the game. And I was like, yep, this thing is over.
So I did it at halftime.
I got it just before halftime. It was nice.
Shout out to Betway 19 plus. Please play responsibly. I would have broken even on the night if the Gatorade was clear, but it was purple for a second straight year.
Oh, I saw Liam tweet that it's going to be orange. So I wonder if he had if he saw something.
It was purple.
Yeah.
I went with blue.
Who won the props?
I don't know. I don't even think he's done it yet.
Oh, geez.
Because we do this prop sheet where you have to fill out like 25 outcome, questions.
Yeah. Yep. Like answers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so we needed to wait. It's usually about 30 to 40 minutes after the game. They put out the official answer sheet. So, but everybody was pretty much heading out. So my brother-in-law had to do it after. Yeah. And I haven't heard who won.
What a prick.
He probably just kept that money.
Who won? Yeah. Someone did.
In not great sporting news from the weekend, the Oilers stunk on Saturday night.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they're allowed one stinker.
Yeah, like, how are you going to come down from winning 16 games in a row?
Didn't play good against Anaheim.
Hey,
but yeah, what are we going to do? We go 82-0? What the fuck?
They're a little taxed. Even like a Connor handling a puck, he was losing the puck without any challenge.
They're 1-2 in the last three. I mean...
Well, fucking right off the
seat. Is it a problem? Are we starting to get stressed out? Just kidding. I was going to come and do this whole, we might never win another one, you boys. Like, seriously, what is this? The end of the Connor McDavid era again? Or
And they stayed in the game and they weren't even playing great.
Did you read the GQ interview with Connor?
No.
There's a new GQ interview with Connor.
Oh, yeah?
Do you want to know what you learn? Nothing.
Well, I don't
it is to learn hilarious. I read it. I was like, what? Why do they even do this?
So surface.
They're like, do you love Nickelback? He's like, you know it. They're like, well, hockey. And that was the end of the interview.
Well, that sucks.
I have it on good authority, though, that Nickelback's management has seen the article.
Yeah, I think it was
our version of the article, though.
Oh. What?
We recapped it. Little notes.
Did Nickelback's management
on the GQ
like that?
They did like it.
Oh, they did
on the like GQ it. Interview. We recapped it.
Yeah.
Great.
Alina wrote it, right?
Yeah, Alina.
Show it to Alina.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And it got sent to Nickelback's management.
The gist I got reading
How do you
it.
You know this.
I know things.
So speaking of this kind of stuff, go ahead.
I bet you
sent in the shadows.
What I got from this article is that Nickelback is performing at his wedding.
I think so too. This is why
it was written, is to like plant the seed.
And based on how little he knows about his own wedding, it was very important that he won the skills competition for that extra $1 million.
For Nickelback.
Yes.
Connor, I'm going to do, this is Lauren talking. This is how Lauren sounds. Connor, I'm going to do everything. You get us in GQ once in the lead up and our photos on the cover. I'm on it.
So he talked to Greg Wyshynski at All-Star Weekend about that. And Greg Wyshynski's like, oh, big wedding you're planning? Like, how's that during the season? And Connor's like, my only job is to get my guys in tuxedos and get them down the aisle. And Greg was like, oh, like, are you looking over the DJ list and like doing the cake stuff? And Connor was like, nope, not allowed to.
So he had to go win that $1 million.
It's good, man. He got it on GQ. He did his part.
It covers the deposit for the wedding.
Do you think they're going to have like a massively public wedding with like 200 people? No,
he's going to get like a fucking island somewhere.
But he's going to have a photographer present.
It's either going to be like one of like he sells the rights to someone, which also is like a way of body protection. Armor.
What do you mean?
Because it like kind of boxes them out, like everyone else out.
Oh, from like
having like all the outlets trying to cover it.
You know, I just think he understands that like there's going to be a lot of interest in this rather than making this like we're not going to get married at the Basilica on Jasper Ave. We're going to get married in cottage country, but we will have better homes and gardens there for $7 million.
But that's what I was thinking. Like the only weddings you ever see that are so over the top televised, all this stuff from like royal weddings. When Gretzky, I would like to talk to my parents actually and ask them when Gretzky did that in Edmonton. Was it like weird?
Was it like a royal wedding, dude?
That's what I mean.
Shut down Jasper Ave for like 6
name,
blocks.
Name It'd be amazing kind of Connor did that.
Name a second wedding that you know of like that where the person is not a royal. Times,
but like imagine he did that.
I respect it.
I'm not
I respect
mad that he's not, but.
The Janet allowed it. Right?
Yeah.
They could have gotten married anywhere. Anyway,
I know it, but like it's just like that's so cool that he did that. So if like Connor did that, I'm not even upset that he's not doing it in the slightest.
Janet was like, I'll get married in Edmonton, but you're only allowed to play there for 2 more years.
Yeah. Treated.
3 weeks later.
And then we go spend the rest of the time in LA and New York.
This is the closing ceremonies of your time in Edmonton, our wedding. I just want Connor to get married during a game.
During the intermission.
Nope.
Maybe during the Molson Cup.
Nope. Stoppage and play. Bring her out on the ice. Usher lowered down from the scoreboard, performs the wedding. Yep. Usher back up in the scoreboard.
Ice skates now.
Yep. Lauren's wearing a full wedding dress, but Connor's wearing all his gear. He'd want to.
That's how we would want it.
And then body armor logo paid for.
Makes sense. This wedding brought to you by Body Armor, whatever their new flavor is.
Officiated by Rick Campanelli.
Unbelievable. Ooh,
speaking of like celebrities and stuff, I am thoroughly, thoroughly impressed and proud to be a part of this Oilers Nation family right now because your guys' interview with Ryan Whitney was next level. It was fucking awesome. I love that he did it, number one. I listened to the whole thing and he was like way more engaged than I expect somebody with his, I guess, status right now. I mean, he's the biggest hockey podcaster in the world. He's part of one of the biggest media companies in the world right now. Mm-hmm. I heard it was a quick yes when you reached out to him.
Very quick. I texted him whatever night that would have been. It was just pre-All-Star. I'd be like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? He texted me back within like 15 minutes and was like, yep. He's like, this week's coming up is bad. Week after, count me in any day.
And like, he came on and was exactly what you want him to be, right? Like, I thought he was great. What's your takeaway from that interview?
Yeah, I thought he was awesome, man. Like,
we could have talked for five hours.
Oh, ask me. Go ahead. ask me what I think.
What did you think of it?
I'll tell you what I saw. I saw Oilers fans getting gaslit by Ryan Whitney again when he apologized for jumping off the bandwagon too soon. I'm watching this. I'm shaking my head already. I look at you, Jay. I saw you forgive him in a heartbeat. The minute he said I got off too soon, you just blacked out due to celebrity power and you said, I forgive you. I would like to rewind when Ryan Whitney was brought to the Oilers. We traded Lubomir Vyshnovsky. Remember Lubo? I don't know why Lubo wanted to leave all of a sudden. Didn't make no sense to me either. But by bringing in Whitney, noted bad boy, and putting him in a dressing room filled with young, impressionable minds. And now you're there.
You still don't forgive him for that?
For coming to Edmonton and torpedoing the rebuild?
I don't think Ryan Whitney torpedoed
it. Oh, really? Look at you two Ryan Whitney converts over there having a great old time. I will remind you, Ryan Whitney was on season one of Real Life when it was me, Gregor, and Stredwick, and I refused to appear in the episode. Even though Whitney was far above us on the food chain, I will be the last remaining Oilers fan to have beef with this guy. The rest of you are falling for his tricks.
He's got me.
I think it's endearing that even though his career here didn't go well, he has a soft spot for us as a fan base.
He is placating us because we always yell at him on Twitter.
But dude, not only has nothing to do with the way that people interact with him on Twitter. When there's an Oilers
fans
game,
always give it to him.
When there's an Oilers game and he's tweeting about it, the Oilers become 10 times more relevant to hockey fans.
Yep.
In that moment. There's just nothing you like.
That is true.
Oh, Ryan Whitney hates us. So if you want to fall for this shit,
once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
He's now because we're good.
I mean, that's a lot of people though.
Well, it's better than PK. Who's just taking shots at us because he wants to be relevant.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Annoying.
You tell he doesn't watch the game at all.
What's that?
PK doesn't watch the game.
No, he's too busy flying all around being awesome. Mm-hmm. Is it true that he's dating
Nelly Furtado?
Yeah.
It's the rumor.
But that was you that told me that. I'm just remembering. Mm-hmm. So you just confirmed your own rumor?
Yep.
Where did you hear it originally?
I heard that he is dating Nelly Furtado. Confirmed from Tyler.
She brought him on stage at the concert.
Second source.
Manager told me.
Second source.
Google Nelly Furtado PK Subban. They have a lot of pictures where they're very close. So that fueled the rumors.
Maybe he's just a big fan of Maneater.
Maybe.
You know what else blew me away about the Super Bowl? Beyonce rented a whole bunch of scoreboards near the stadium and like guerrilla marketed release during the Super Bowl that she has a country album out. And it didn't seem to have a big impact on the storyline. People were more focused on Tay Tay. What's that mean?
Oh no.
Have the Swifties overtaken the Beehive? Not in our lifetime.
They might.
Oh, it's happened.
Swifties are, it's probably they mobilize.
They are.
The Beehive's getting older now. We like to sit.
Yeah.
Is anything's happening?
I think so.
Taylor went up about 10 notches in my book when she gassed that beer when she was on the big screen. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It took 6 months in pre-meetings for that to happen. Did you know that?
I know, but hey.
They're like, okay, it's set in quarter. She's like,
it just shows that she gets it.
That's fine, but she's doing it. She understands the audience.
That's exactly right. That's what I mean.
It. Just like Ryan Whitney understands being an Oilers fan.
When Christian McCaffrey's dating Ice Spice next Super Bowl and they win, because that's the storyline, but they miss a field goal to miss the spread and everyone's cheering. And then, yep.
If we're talking about business stuff too, big company on the offensive right now, Bud Light. Did you see the deal they signed?
Shane Gillis?
They signed with Shane Gillis?
Yeah. Oh, I thought that's what you were going to reference.
No, UFC.
Oh.
They signed with, they have.
That was a couple.
They have pivoted like it? Ross and Chandler.
Well, they were
with
in
a couch.
UFC ads since day, like early on.
But it's like their main promotion now. And it's like, you know, and Post Malone standing there in the middle of the
fight.
He's always been a Bud Light guy, but there was no way that the NFL and Post Malone, they were like, okay, we're going to show you in one, three, two, one, and then they show them because they're all holding their beer cans.
You think the Super Bowl is a marketing event?
Oh, imagine. Hey, but they are back on the offensive. I think they went underground for a little bit and they are
So you know, though, that Taylor Swift arranged to pound that drink on camera.
Of course.
Okay.
Just I'll show you how I know it's rehearsed. You know when they showed her and Blake kind of like hugging close, and then all of a sudden Blake's like around the screen. She's like, "Oh my god, we're on the screen!"
Yeah.
You can see her eyes. She was already looking for her to be on the screen, and then she looked back, and then did that, and then did that reaction. Like I was like.
Well, anytime Travis Kelce touches the ball, it defaults to her. So well,
that's fine.
We all know it's coming. That's so what she the Swifties
want. They want to see her cheering.
They for do. Her but so people who get pissed off about the fact that they show Taylor Swift a lot. If we're talking about a 2.5 hour football game, I think somebody did the math that she was on screen for 45 seconds.
I would see who else is
in quick. Total.
Yeah.
Like in
it wasn't total. Too much.
No.
I didn't think it was.
No, but there's lots more of, interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see Jay-Z pound a beer.
Did you see Beyonce dressed like a cowboy at the game? I did. I now know why.
Yeah, now it makes sense because she was also dressed like a cowboy at the Grammys.
Exactly.
Search Jeff Goldblum, too, on the big screen because he acted like he had never seen himself on a big screen or a TV screen before in his life.
There's just so many storylines converging at the Super Bowl.
I love it.
The Kardashians are walking in like stormtroopers and shit. It's awesome.
It is
wild. Kim and Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh,
are they dating?
It's so on the DL. They're barely even rolling it out.
It's like Nelly Furtado, PK Subban.
Well, Kim K knows you don't do a rollout in the middle of a Taylor Swift story arc.
No, that's right.
Now that the Super Bowl is over, they can put that on the shelf. They can break up in time for the next album. So Kim's got a whole summer with Odell Beckham.
Interesting. All right. We do quickly need to step aside for a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Back on the Real Life Podcast, brought to you by DoorDash, or I should say delivered by DoorDash. Dash that for the win, and for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Throw that promo code in there, get yourself 25% off, and have restaurants, groceries, and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash.
Or go to Chalmers and have a power session with them for 2 hours and walk home and order a Donair.
Okay, so I have an update to something. It's the end of parking gate on my street.
Oh yeah, what happened?
One of them killed another.
The guy who just moved in less than a year ago, for sale sign back up.
Yeah,
out of there.
Wow.
I feel like he's a quitter.
Amber sent me the picture.
I was just gonna say that he's given up.
What a quitter. Yeah, I'm stunned, man. I can't believe it. New listing up now.
Disappointing.
Great neighbors is the sign.
Do you know what it was listed for before?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Is this guy going to take a hit on this house? Yeah, dude,
I want to know.
He's put a ton of work into it.
Oh, has he?
I feel for that guy, man.
Taking a hit then, I would imagine.
Check out, what's it called? Open Door, or what's the one you can check with property sold for? There's a website. Guy from Edmonton actually started it. Anyways, we'll find out what he paid for.
Yeah. He's in the hole for sure.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to like, do you talk to this neighbor?
Nope. Never spoken to him once.
I think you need to get over that.
Are you going
to
get a full?
Now you're going to get the full details.
He needs a debrief now.
It's like, come over the six pack and be like,
we need to talk about this.
Let's sort this shit out.
No, because
then he'll be like, we'll sort it. Just tell me everything.
But then he might just be like, where the hell is this support?
I'm not here to support you.
No.
I know you're leaving.
I'm here for
now. I want to hear the story. Yeah. I'm not here to help in any bit.
I had a six pack with old crazy Rob last week and I heard his side of it. I don't know if that's his name.
You want to hear both sides?
Yeah. I want to hear both sides.
Well, then you get the other side when the guy leaves.
Life's about balance.
Yeah. You got to go get the deeds. I don't like the real deeds. Think about the content.
I don't have the requisite social skills for this.
Bring the roadcaster over and then pretend
you interview people for a living.
Hey, with a mic.
Yeah, but just pop
a shirt in his face.
Should we just bring him on Real Life then?
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Tyler, pro hat goes on. You just need the microphone in front of your face.
And then you know what? You should invite him on a pro life, onto Real Life.
I don't know anything about this guy. I've never spoken to him. Well, zoom in for 10 minutes, if only you had an interview show where you could ask him some questions.
Jeez, if you only knew how to ask people questions.
We'll zoom in for 10 minutes.
I think if he's leaving your neighborhood under a cloud of dust, he wants to document it.
Yes.
Maybe.
Let him get his story out there.
Don't you think you would want to know if five people sat in an office in the River Valley and talked about your parking situation?
For dozens of listeners. We should do, or we could take the show on the road and do it from his driveway.
Oh, do it from the scene of the crime, and my other neighbors would be so pissed about that.
So tell them, it'll piss them off. That's what we're going
to
do it.
We need to figure it out. How are we going to get the details?
We need to know, because you've just been guessing.
Yeah.
It could be something completely different.
I want to know if this guy, in a year's time, is moving specifically because of the other guy.
Or did he flip the house, and now it's just time to go?
If it's a flip, that's one thing. But if he's moving because of the other guy
specifically, I just want to note how odd it is you'll text Ryan Whitney. But won't talk to your own name.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is odd.
I really don't talk to any of my neighbors because I'm awkward. So
you're not awkward to Brian Whitney?
Walk over with a microphone.
Does it have anything to do with that once you open that door, now it's an every time you see them, it's a hi, maybe a stop.
But they're leaving.
And so it's just easier not to open that door.
I've said I would love to be close with my neighbors. I hear your stories, your neighbors with Ryan. He's a great guy. I would love to have a neighbor that I'm friends with. I just don't.
But I'm not good at making friends. You don't.
Just make a lav mic. Then it's not quite as aggressive. You still got the comfort of the microphone there.
If you show up at his doorstep with a camera crew, he's going to think he won Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Nice. Give him a check. For
$5. He'll be so upset. It's you.
Yeah. I can't believe it's the end of Parking Gate.
One time when I was in grade 12, we had this class project to work on, and the girl in my group didn't come because she thought Publisher's Clearinghouse was coming to her house that day.
No.
She did not attend school that afternoon.
What made her think that?
Yeah,
why?
Remember they would send out mail being like, are you going to be home January 18th at 6 p.m. when we're showing up?
They sent to everyone.
She did not come to school that day. I do not want to tell you where that girl ended up.
I don't know what this is. What is this?
Publisher's Clearinghouse? Dude.
Ed McMahon used to go around and hand out million-dollar checks.
Oh, my God.
$1 million. He would just knock on the door. He'd have three balloons and a massive check for $1 million.
Why? Publisher's Clearinghouse. Well, it's probably like a Amway book scam or something, right?
Like Columbia CDs. Yeah, like
someone's getting scammed somewhere along
the way.
Reader's Digest was somehow involved.
And I shouldn't say Amway's a scam.
It was one of those things I think that everybody.
Line of success or whatever.
It's a pyramid of success.
Everybody knew about Publisher's Clearinghouse, but nobody actually understood it.
Except that girl at my high school.
Except for you win $1 million.
They were just giving random people $1 million.
Yep.
You had to enter.
What you do is you get this really fancy car.
Go on.
And you get a kiosk booth at the mall.
Mm-hmm. Sell tickets.
You sell tickets for 10 years to win the car.
To lease the car for a year.
For a month.
Yeah. And then no one can follow up. One day there's a new Ferrari.
I don't know of anyone that has won a car from that thing.
They've geo-blocked us. That's why. You cannot Publisher's Clearinghouse in Canada. I wanted to get us tickets. And I can't.
Really? Mm. They're protecting us.
I feel discriminated.
I do too.
Should we use that special URL I sent you the other day?
Discriminated.
I think we might have to. Or I'm just going to use my VPN and I'll go pretend I'm in the States and buy us tickets.
I blew Bag Milk's mind the other day because he was trying to read something behind a paywall. And I was like, oh, you don't know? Archive.pr.
Well, because the one I used it went sideways, got blocked. Now yours is my go-to.
Archive.pr.
Yeah.
Anything behind a paywall. So you just take the link, copy it, and then put it into archive.pr, and it shows you a cached version of the internet from like 90 minutes ago. You can all free
content. What I was the other day is I was the first person to archive the article I was trying to read, so I watched it do its process. It was interesting.
That's cool.
That's why we'll never be behind a paywall. Mm. What's the point?
Archive.pr will get us around it.
Where's .pr, Chalmers?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Puerto Rico.
I was going to say Portugal. It's
Jake Paul's site.
Yeah. Mm. I'm surprised they weren't at the Super Bowl.
They probably were. It was too much Taylor Swift time on TV.
Yeah, it's tough to be noticed, but they would have been noticed.
Beyonce couldn't even get her bloody shit on the TV.
Ridiculous. Yeah, what chance does Jake Paul have?
So there's a guy going around just interviewing like non-celebrities, like what they paid to get in. And like
the average was like 8,500 US.
What?
Yeah.
I would never pay that much to watch a football game.
Did you see, I wonder if it's because it was in Vegas or, but it's, I don't know, Super Bowl is crazy.
So what if it was the Cardinals? You paying that much to go see the Cardinals?
Never.
Tommy Pham, outfielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, this is a flex.
First, he posts on his Instagram story. He's at the game, first half. Then all of a sudden, next snap, he's watching the second half at home. He goes, game's better on my couch. He's dipped halfway through the game.
Flex! Went home.
He probably got his tickets.
What is
free.
The limit you would
he
pay
He lives
for
in
two
Florida.
Okay. If money is no object. Excuse me.
If the Browns made the Super Bowl, Cardinals, I would pay 10 grand.
You would pay 10 grand to be there?
Yes.
Well, don't you think, though, on the line of Tommy Pham, it's just better on TV?
I'd pay 2,500.
It's one of those things, like, and 10 grand's a lot of money, and I probably won't spend 10 grand. But
don't worry, the Browns will never make the Super Bowl.
Well, that's also it.
How much do you pay for the Bills? Super Bowl.
I would.
But it's the pageantry. It's the whole, like, and knowing that you're going, the fact that you're there and you're one of the people that are going.
Then you'll always remember, I went there once for every other Super Bowl.
Like, if
it just takes one and then you've been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When the day comes, when the Bills ultimately get there, I will sit on my couch in my basement with the lights off and watch it. I will not go to a party. I will not have.
What's your
over.
Number, though? What's your max number? $1,000?
I don't know if I would want to.
Why?
You pay to go to Buffalo now.
Yes. Yeah, I know, because I love being amongst the people. And I do like watching
but
football.
You won't talk to your neighbors?
So you want
to
watch your favorite team in the Super Bowl alone in the basement?
But I just like, I don't think I would pay $5,000 to go watch the Bills in the
How about
Super Bowl.
About 10 grand?
Like a once in a lifetime chance. Like, yeah. Like, it's not like you're spending $5,000 every year to go to the
it's
Super Bowl.
It's 10 grand, not $5,000.
Yeah, it's true. And it is 10
Stop
grand.
Stop saying $5,000. That gets you 1.5 seats.
That gets you your flight.
I wouldn't pay what it would take, I think, is my answer.
But wouldn't you want to see your team in the Super Bowl live? Would you want that? Remove the price.
Yeah. Like, if it's Oilers game 7, I want to pay too much to go see it.
Yeah. Oilers are different. Well, that's our
Super Bowl. And hockey's better in person than it is on TV. That's how I feel about cool. it. At least I like watching the play in front of me. Whatever. Football's such a good TV sport. That
the roar of the crowd, about. Especially your team, your fans, yeah, though, like, I think is not
like I, if you gave me the choice between seeing a Bills Super Bowl in person or a Bills AFC Championship in Buffalo, AFC Championship in Buffalo all day.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl crowd wouldn't be a significant enough draw.
That's an interesting point. It's just rich people, not fans of the sport.
Yeah, which is why I also think they should get rid of the bye week in between the Super Bowl and the AFC NFC. It's not like crazy amounts of fans are traveling for this thing anymore.
Is it to let the players heal? Rest?
Yeah, but I think the game would be better if it was like, bang, we're going. You have one less week to prep. We're just giving her. Momentum carries over. I think they should eliminate that bye week. Especially with the way air travel is now. Like, it's not like these teams really need to like go far to like get there, right? It's
and put it on a Saturday.
And put it on a Saturday.
Imagine that guy, Achilles, if he didn't get the rest, it would have popped out.
Well, that actually makes my point for me is that guys still get hurt. OBJ went down non-contact in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Okay, here's my question for you about the Super Bowl. Because nothing in this world is free, right?
Mm-hmm. You mean OBK.
Back in the day, we weren't allowed any teams in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worry was players would start affecting games.
Yeah.
Okay. And those were in the days where you had to go to the casino to make a bet.
Yep.
Okay. Now, every league is in Vegas. And the players are coming frequently. And now players can bet on their phones. You don't even need to go in somewhere with a lot more anonymity, right? When is there going to be a scandal from people being in Vegas all the time betting on sports?
The teams that live there.
Well, now it's irrelevant. You don't have to be in Vegas to bet.
You can bet anywhere, right?
But I think they're still in the casinos. All these players that are going to be there all the time are going to be in the casino. That's when they lose a million.
So I heard an interview with Max Crosby, and they all live on the outskirts.
Yeah,
they
not the home Vegas teams. Yeah. It's the teams coming into Vegas.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think
the Vegas flu. Remember, they used to have this thing in the NBA called the Miami flu. Teams would always play bad in Miami because you got South Beach right there. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Get after it a little bit.
Get after it a little bit. So it was like, it was a known thing.
So did we talk about this or was it a podcast? I was saw a clip of on TikTok.
A hockey team in Ibiza.
Maybe it was you and your best friend, Ryan Whitney, having another podcast.
But it was something about how, like, you know, back 20 some years ago in the NBA, players were like always flying women out to come watch them. And now with like the existence of dating apps and Instagram, these guys can just find women in any city. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Guys used to love going to Miami and hitting the clubs where all the women are. But now it's like, man, with Instagram, you can find a 10 out of 10 in Milwaukee if that's what you're looking for, right? Like, it doesn't exist like that anymore. And I think Vegas is the same thing. I think maybe the first year the NHL was there.
It's still Vegas.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't care if you're Connor McDavid. If you go out the night before and decide to play some high stakes anything and you lose $1 million because you're trying to dig up.
Mm-hmm. You can win it back.
I don't think you're going to play good the next day.
I think the next time you come play the Golden Knights, there's going to be a guy waiting for at the airport with a sign.
Having been to Vegas as many times as I have, it doesn't take a whole lot to end up at 4 a.m. before you know it.
No.
Oh, yeah. It sneaks away.
I don't know.
It's true.
It's a ticking time bomb until they're like, did you know that guy came to Vegas?
Oh, how many times we've been at Taco Bell Cantina and I look at my phone and go, fuck me, it's 3 a.m.
You saw how hard snake farms are to manage.
You can't do it.
You could lose millions if one crop of snakes die. That totally was not gambling related.
Who is a snake farm?
You think the snake farm's a front for a gambling debt?
Yeah.
Who has a snake farm?
Robin Lerner.
Come on.
He might have just liked exotic animals. Come on.
Listen, I've farmed snakes, okay? Do you know how many snakes have to die to lose $45 million farming snakes? Most of the snakes.
A couple big
one
ones.
One diamond encrusted snake.
Show me one snake he sold. Give me one bill.
I'd like to see one receipt.
How much money did that snake farm lose?
I think it was like $5 million.
No.
Was it more than that?
It's like tens of millions of dollars.
I don't know.
He had a business of a snake farm and it lost that much money?
I wouldn't call it a business. If all you do is lose money.
It says $40 million.
Yes. Come on.
Interesting.
And where did he play at the end of his?
So this is like taking a year off to go pursue my basketball or my baseball
passion,
career.
My passion. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just think that you'll see more and more snake farms failing as the teams in Las Vegas.
That could be true.
Snake farms are the perfect way to launder money.
I would not say that.
Count the snakes. Is there 4,500 or 3,000?
It's probably tough to challenge the economics of a snake farm because there's never been one documented.
Now I'm reading the article. They don't know how much liability to creditors he had within the snake farm. It ranges from 10 to 50 million under RL Exotics LLC.
And who does he owe this to, I wonder?
Is he farming snakes to sell to people because like, there's this huge market for snakes?
Chalmers, I think the point here is that maybe he wasn't farming snakes.
There was no snakes.
Snakes are delicious and we just don't know it yet.
If you're an auditor and you're going out to, what was the name of the company?
Yeah. No auditor's going to a snake.
Exactly.
RL you're like, Exotics.
Poisonous. I'm sorry. How many super cobras do you have here? Well, according to this, we have 185. You'll
have to hand count them. Screw that. You go count them.
Yeah.
The inventory's tough on the snake farm. It operated in Plato, Missouri, though. Worth noting.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, man.
Which is, if anyone knows anything about snakes, that is not ideal conditions for a snake.
Well, they've clearly proven this.
I don't think anybody knows anything about snakes. I don't even know what's happening
in Missouri, too.
Fuck, I thought they could survive the cold.
Leonard was first linked to snakes back in 2017 when he reportedly purchased a collection of exotic snakes for $1.2 million.
I do not believe any. I'm telling you, man, this whole story is crazy as fuck. And they're just like, yep, snake farm, nothing to see here. Look.
And his knees
ice spice.
Yeah. 1.2 million snakes. Like, how many do you get?
But that's the tip of the snake iceberg, the snakeberg. He loses another 48 and a half million on the enterprise.
This is just craziness.
Yeah, you know what? I just kind of let it be like, okay, crazy. Like,
somebody needs to do a deep dive on this thing.
Yeah, well, Anya, you bring an interesting perspective to this.
Thank you.
Oh, if we're wrapping up with hockey talk.
Sorry. Formed RL Exotics in 2019. So, 2 years between his first snake purchase to when he launched his own company.
But then how long from the company launching to losing potentially $50 million and being insolvent?
Like, it's like 24 months.
How would a bank? Like I bet there's. Yes. This makes
sense. I just need another $5 million. I can turn this thing around.
I just have a few more snakes that need to fuck.
I'm a former banker. And not granted, I did never do any ag lending, which I'm assuming snake farming would fall under.
Fake snakes?
Well, I can't see like a bank lending.
But they'll lend to let you like raise alpacas.
Yeah.
How do you think the snakes come to market? No funding? How are you going to get your Super Cobra?
You know, well, I actually think the sale of a Super Cobra probably isn't legal.
I think you're asking too many questions.
Yeah, that's
true. Need to remember that this is a gambling debt.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I'm saying. Like, so like that, which just proves that it can't be bank liabilities. It's mob liabilities. It's
private equity liabilities.
It's Steve Wynn.
He can't see shit.
You didn't see the snakes. No one can see the snakes.
I wanted to wrap up with a hockey thing. Of
was there some new comments too?
Buy a snake from him.
Do your hockey stuff.
They're all dead, then, bro.
For the nation.
He's in jail,
buddy. It's out of business. The farm is out of business.
Leonard purchased a collection of snakes, formerly named Rennick Reptiles, from then owner and world-renowned reptile breeder Ben Rennick, setting up a payment plan with quarterly installments of only $200,000. Missed those installments.
When you buy that many snakes, you need the herd to triple in size.
You need it now.
You ever try to get two king cobras to mate?
It's impossible.
Got to play Ice Spice.
Mm-hmm.
Set the vibe. The
fart song.
What do we think of the Morgan Riley thing?
Oh, I would have been pissed off too, but cross-checking a guy in the face is pretty overboard. Well,
I loved the whole thing.
Me too.
Yes.
That's I love it from both sides. His primary point of contact was the shoulder. Morgan Riley should have just jumped him.
That's it.
Just jump him. By doing the stick thing, he put himself in trouble because it's just going to look bad because the narrative of going after someone after they score is a bad look, depending on who I'm referring to.
What is a guy doing taking a slap shot from the top of the crease?
If Evander Kane did that to the Calgary Flames, we'd love it.
As an FU to Leafs.
I loved it.
And Leafs fans.
The NHL needs more wrestling, more heels.
Yes.
And that was a heel mover.
And I love what Riley did. It's just that it's a cross check. And, you know, it's so funny, like, how people that are against it, like, talking about the culture of hockey and this and that. I'm like, this is a war. Like, this is competition.
But go ahead.
But like when if you compete and you're in the heat of the moment, if shit like that doesn't happen, then it's not a competition. Now, cross-checking a guy in the head, not cool. If he just would have jumped him, totally different story. Probably zero suspension.
Our boy Wyatt from Canucks Army had a hilarious tweet about it that I'd like to share. Says hockey is just the most fascinating blend of suck it up, be a man, and play on that broken leg. And that fucker took a hard shot on our empty net, and now I have hurt feelings, so he has to die.
Yeah,
it's very.
It's not a hurt. It's like he's like that slap shot is like I'm attacking their pride.
That's disrespectful.
The OGs of the game don't like showboating. Like, people could do the Michigan, but you didn't do the Michigan for fear the defenseman would come and rearrange your face after. Whereas now, I think showboating, they're trying to like have bigger sellies and shit, right?
But like,
I
think Morgan Riley's showboating. That was just a middle finger.
You don't think it was showboating?
No, that was like a middle finger to the Leafs. Like, fuck you. We fucking
more disrespectful.
But like, exclamation point on that W. And so like, that's great. Just like what Morgan Riley did was great.
More disrespectful. A slap shot into an open net. Or the celebration of the glove on the selfie stick, where the guy put his glove on the top of his stick,
like, and then went like, "Hockey, though, who cares?"
No, I know, but I loved it. I thought that was hilarious.
I'll tell you one thing though: if a guy, even in men's league, if a guy went by me doing that, I'm fucking shoving him.
I know you are,
and that's good too. I love it.
But yeah, exactly. Like it's fine, and that's the part of sports. Who cares? Like
more theater.
Like, should he have to pay a price because he did it? Like, that's not the question. It's just
take away his snake farm.
That's right.
Or make him buy a snake.
Or make him buy one. Yeah, it sounds like a worse idea.
Did he arrive at work one day and all the buildings were filled with dead snakes? Like, what the hell happened to lose $50 million?
Temperature controlled building.
He was like, somebody told me they don't have to eat for like 6 months.
Have I didn't know I had snakes.
It's like, do you know how much mice cost?
Yeah.
I couldn't catch him in the winter because they never came out. You can go buy them. What?
Robin, you can't go on another road trip for a week. Someone's got to feed them snakes.
Oh man. How many snakes is 50 million snakes too?
Well, like,
what is the cost per snake?
Oh my God.
Installment payments of $200,000. We have to be talking like that's gotta be.
So according to Animal Bliss,
20,000 snakes,
your average snake runs you anywhere between $300 and $500.
How many snakes for $50 million?
So many.
Isn't
snakes.
That 10,000 snakes or something or more?
Maybe they're autographed. Maybe he was trying to bring autographed snake market to market.
Nobody's snake doing NFT. It. Nobody's doing that.
Do you think
that's what they need? One good
NFT. Uses the skin for like shoes?
Boots?
Probably.
For boots?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other half meat. The other half.
If boots. You look up their business plan on their website, it just says mob debt. Yeah. About us, mob debt.
Oh. Snakes, find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit on 17.
Order a snake? No.
They're denning. Try and find the dens. Can't.
Do you say we have reviews?
Yeah, do we have any new reviews you were looking at?
Can we do it Thursday?
Sure. I won't be here.
Chalmers will be here.
Yeah, well, so we'll need the content.
Yep.
If you're listening, leave us a review. We'll read our new reviews on Thursday in lieu of Keep It 100.
Can't wait to see you guys in Phoenix.
We'll do a Phoenix pod, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, I really hope what we want
to
do.
I can't wait to see what kind of revelation you come up with in Phoenix.
To do what? What do you mean?
On a couple of cocktails, do a real life podcast. Who knows what's going to come out of your
mouth? Oh, yeah. Oh, dentist update. Mm. Clean bill of health.
You're just cheek cleared. Yeah.
She fucking said I was like one of the best mouths she's ever seen.
Did you tell her the whole thing?
Yeah. The big boss came in. He's like, so you keeping up with your hygiene? I'm like, doctor, big I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. The big boss.
You call your dentist doc?
Super dentist?
Doc?
I guess they're
doctors. But
they don't know your habits, right?
Nope. No. Yeah, see, I don't lie like to the doctor, I do lie to the dentist. Yeah.
I would lie to the doctor when they ask me how many cocktails I have.
We've already gone over this. I do not.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, Charles doesn't know. Okay, so you're good on the dentist front. You went to the appointment and...
Okay.
The Oilers lost that
let's
night,
let's just, truth be told, I didn't have one cavity. Okay? I had one cavity, one filling. They wanted to give me a needle for it. And I was like, no. Do you guys have that gas over there? Gas me up. And they're like, no, we don't do that just for fillings. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to grin and bear it. Just do the filling.
Oh, what? God,
no really? Needle.
Why no needle?
Because it goes up into your nose and you can feel it wiggling around up in your nose.
So you sitting through the filling is
the
better?
Drilling?
Yeah. So they did it.
So like 1 second of uncomfortableness for like 30 minutes of pain. Shit.
I'm... clearly the toughest person in the world because I got the cavity done and I looked at him and said, you were going to give me a needle for that? I didn't feel a thing. Like it was just drilling.
Was it on a fake tooth?
It
was
going to make
me throw up.
It was on a real tooth.
Well, of course, because you can't have cavity in a fake
tooth. It was a little sensitive when he got to the root. But, we battled.
Oh my God, dude.
We battled. No, I can't do needles. I'm not doing needles. I'd rather sit through it and be in pain. I'm not doing the needles.
You put your money in your mouth is there for sure. Holy shit.
Yeah. So I did have one cavity. But other than that, he did say that the rest of the mouth looks great. Keep up the good work, he said.
That's disgusting.
What's disgusting about it?
I hate anything to do with teeth and mouths. Ugh.
Okay, here's the pitch, bag milk. Ready?
What's that?
Don't you have tattoos?
I have tattoos.
What did that look like?
The dentist
did you have to be knocked out?
No. No. It's getting worse with age.
Gotcha.
Back then, it wasn't a big deal.
It's a pen that's being written on.
Wait, you don't like needles as you age?
No. The things that I don't like or the things that I suffer from are getting worse with age. Like the sitting in the second row of a back seat is getting worse. I used to be able to put up with it. Now I can't. I got no time for it. And like needles, I used to be all fine with them, but now, no, not anymore. Not doing it. So yeah. So it's just getting worse. It's just, they're getting amplified. Does that make sense?
Sure. Oh
God. Check this math bag milk. One king cobra has a litter of mini king cobras.
They can lay up to like 20 babies.
Yeah. Do
they?
In one litter.
Oh yeah. Tons.
And then they're all sucking on them little snake titties.
They okay. do that?
No, they lay eggs.
Yeah, they lay eggs.
Females can lay up to 21 to 51 eggs.
Okay. Wow. This is where you get the bank on your side.
Okay. Now I understand.
You got a tree. One cobra, 25 pups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$500 a pup.
25 for free.
Just need 3 weeks until the big frost hit and all 50 million of the cobra died. Yeah.
Incubation period. So we do got a little bit of work here. 51 to 79 days for a king cobra. Whew. So you got a couple of months you got to work through.
Maybe a fox got into the hen house.
Mm.
Ate all the eggs.
You have to wait 2 months to harvest your snakes.
Maybe he tried to make one $50 million snake.
Maybe. Super snake.
Super snake, Chalmers. You know, snakes can get knotted amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. Saw that on planet Earth.
So like snakes will like breed in like a roof in Australia and then just fall out a knot of snakes and they're tied together and they can't get free.
Sounds devastating.
You should ask Robin Lerner.
That's what happened.
He knotted they up all his cobras. Knotted.
Can't sell individuals if they're all knotted.
He's like, how do I supposed to unknot these, Ben?
There's a way to package that up and charge a premium.
We got
to
go. We're playing Columbus. fuck.
All right. That's a wrap on today's edition of the pod. We'll be back Thursday, everybody. Leave reviews.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.